Death Sentence, read by John Chancer. Brand Gorla smiled uncomfortably. These things exaggerate, you know.
No, no, no!
The little man's albino pink eyes snapped.
Dorlas was great when no human had ever entered the vegan system. It was the capital of a galactic confederation greater than ours.
Well, then, let's say that it was an ancient capital. I'll admit that, and leave the rest to an archaeologist.
Archaeologists are of no use.
What I've discovered needs a specialist in its own field, and you're on the board. Brand Gorla looked doubtful. He remembered Theor Rialo in senior year, a little white misfit of a human who sulked somewhere in the background of his reminiscences. It had been a long time ago, but the albino had been queer. That was easy to remember, and he was still queer.
I'll try to help, Brand said, if you tell me what you want.
Theor watched intently.
I want you to place certain facts before the board. Will you promise that?
Brand hedged. Even if I can help you along, Theor, I'll have to remind you that I'm a junior member of the psychological board. I haven't much influence.
You must do your best. The facts will speak for themselves.
The albino's hands were trembling. Go ahead, Brand resigned himself. The man was an old schoolfellow. You couldn't be too arbitrary about things. Brand Gorla leaned back and relaxed. The light of Arcturus shone through the ceiling-high windows, diffused and mellowed by the polarizing glass. Even this diluted version of sunlight was too much for the pink eyes of the other, and he shaded his eyes as he spoke.
I've lived on Dorlas 25 years, Brand, he said. I've poked into places no one today knew existed, and I've found things. Dorlas was the scientific and cultural capital of a civilization greater than ours. Yes, it was, and particularly in psychology.
Things in the past always seem greater. Brand condescended a smile. There is a theorem to that effect which you'll find in any elementary text. Freshmen invariably call it the G.O.D. theorem. Stands for good old days, you know. But go on.
Theor frowned at the digression. He hid the beginning of a sneer.
You can always dismiss an uncomfortable fact by pinning a dowdy label to it. But tell me this. What do you know of psychological engineering?
Brand shrugged.
No such thing.
Anyway, not in the strict mathematical sense. All propaganda and advertising is a crude form of hit-and-miss psych engineering, and pretty effective sometimes.
Maybe that's what you mean. Not at all. I mean actual experimentation, with masses of people, under controlled conditions, and over a period of years.
Such things have been discussed. It's not feasible in practice. Our social structure couldn't stand much of it, and we don't know enough to set up effective controls.
Theor suppressed excitement. But the ancients did know enough, and they did set up controls.
Brand considered phlegmatically. Startling and interesting. But how do you know?
Because I found the documents relating to it.
He paused breathlessly.
An entire planet, Brand. A complete world picked to suit. People with beings under strict control from every angle. Studied and charted and experimented upon. Don't you get the picture?
Brand noted none of the usual stigmata of mental uncontrol. A closer investigation, perhaps. He said evenly,
You must have been misled.
It's thoroughly impossible. You can't control humans like that. Too many variables.
And that's the point, Brand. They weren't humans.
What?
They were robots. Positronic robots. A whole world of them, Brand. With nothing to do but live and react, and be observed by a set of psychologists that were real psychologists.
That's mad.
I have proof. Because that robot world still exists. The First Confederation went to pieces, but that robot world kept on going. It still exists.
And how do you know?
Theor Rialo stood up. Because I've been there these last 25 years.
The boardmaster threw his formal red-edged gown aside and reached into a pocket for a long, gnarled, and decidedly unofficial cigar.
Preposterous, he grunted, and thoroughly insane.
Exactly, said Brand. And I can't spring it on the board just like that. They wouldn't listen. I've got to get this across to you first. And then, if you can put your authority behind it...
Oh, nuts! I never heard anything as... Who is the fellow?
Brand sighed. A crank, I'll admit that. He was in my class at Arcturus U, and a crackpot albino even then. Maladjusted as the devil. Hipped on ancient history. And just the kind that gets an idea and goes through with it by plain, dumb plugging. He's poked about in Dorlas for 25 years, he says. He's got the complete records of practically an entire civilization.
The boardmaster puffed furiously.
Yeah, I know. In the Telestat serials, the brilliant amateur always uncovers the great things. The freelance, the lone wolf, nuts. Have you consulted the Department of Archaeology?
Certainly. And the result was interesting. No one bothers with Dorlas. This isn't just ancient history, you see. It's a matter of 15,000 years. It's practically myth.
Reputable archaeologists don't waste much time with it. It's just the thing a book-struck layman with a single-track mind would uncover. After this, of course, if the business turns out right, Dorlas will become an archaeologist's paradise.
The boardmaster screwed his homely face into an appalling grimace.
It's very unflattering to the ego. If there's any truth in all this, the so-called First Confederation must have had a grasp of psychology so far past ours as to make us out to be blithering imbeciles. Two, they'd have built a positronic robot that would be about 75 orders of magnitude above anything we've even blueprinted. Galaxy! Think of the mathematics involved.
Look, sir, I've consulted just about everybody. I wouldn't bring this thing to you if I weren't certain that I had every angle checked. I went to Black just about the first thing, and he's consultant mathematician to United Robots. He says there are no limit to these things. Given the time, the money, and the advance in psychology, get that. Robots like that could be built right now.
What proof has he?
Who, Black?
No, your friend, the albino. You said he had papers.
He has. I've got them here. He's got documents, and there's no denying their antiquity. I had that checked every way from Sunday. I can't read them, of course. I don't know anyone who can except Theor Rialo.
That's stacking the deck, isn't it? We have to take his say-so?
Yes, in a way. But he doesn't claim to be able to decipher more than portions. He says it is related to ancient Centurion, and I've put linguists to work on it. It can be cracked, and if his translation isn't accurate, we'll know about it.
All right, let's see it.
Brand Gorla brought out the plastic-mounted documents. The boardmaster tossed them aside and reached for the translation. Smoke billowed as he read.
Hmm, was his comment. Further details on Dorlas, I suppose.
Theor claims that there are some 100 to 200 tons of blueprints altogether, on the brain plan of the positronic robots alone. They're still there in the original vault, but that's the least of it. He's been on the robot world itself. He's got photocasts, teletype recordings, all sorts of details. They're not integrated, and obviously the work of a layman who knows next to nothing about psychology. Even so, he's managed to get enough data to prove pretty conclusively that the world he was on wasn't, natural.
You've got that with you, too?
All of it. Most of it's on microfilm, but I've brought the projector. Here are your eyepieces. An hour later, the boardmaster said,
I'll call a board meeting tomorrow and push this through.
Brand Gorla grinned tightly.
We'll send a commission to Dorlas?
When? said the board master dryly, and if we can get an appropriation out of the university for such an affair. Leave this material with me for the while, please. I want to study it a little more.
Theoretically, the governmental department of science and technology exercises administrative control over all scientific investigation. Actually, however, the pure research groups of the large universities are thoroughly autonomous bodies, and, as a general rule, the government does not care to dispute that. But a general rule is not necessarily a universal rule. And so, although the board master scowled and fumed and swore, there was no way of refusing Wynne Murray an interview. To give Murray his complete title, he was undersecretary in charge of psychology, psychopathy, and mental technology. And he was a pretty fair psychologist in his own right. So the board master might glare, but that was all. Secretary Murray ignored the glare cheerfully. He rubbed his long chin against the grain and said, "It amounts to a case of insufficient information. Shall we put it that way?" The board master said frigidly,
"I don't see what information you want. The government's say in university appropriations is purely advisory, and in this case I might say the advice is unwelcome." Murray shrugged. "I have no quarrel with the appropriation. But you're not going to leave the planet without government permit. That's where the insufficient information comes in." "There is no information other than what we've given you."
"But things have leaked out. All this childish and rather unnecessary secrecy." The old psychologist flushed.
"Secrecy! If you don't know the academic way of life, I can't help you. Investigations, especially those of major importance, aren't and can't be made public until definite progress has been made. When we get back, we'll send you copies of whatever papers we publish."
Murray shook his head. Not enough. You're going to Dorlas, aren't you?"
"We've informed the Department of Science of that."
"Why?"
"Why do you want to know?"
"Because it's big. Or the boardmaster wouldn't go himself. What's this about an older civilization in a world of robots?"
"Well, then you know."
"Only vague notions we've been able to scrabble up. I want the details."
"There are none that we know now. We won't know until we're on Dorlas."
"Then I'm going with you."
"What?"
"You see, I want the details, too."
"Why?"
"Ah." Murray unfolded his legs and stood up. "Now you're asking the questions. It's no use now. I know that the universities aren't keen on government supervision, and I know that I can expect no willing help from any academic source. But by Arcturus, I'm going to get help this time, and I don't care how you fight it. Your expedition is going nowhere unless I go with you, representing the government." Dorlas, as a world, is not impressive. Its importance to galactic economy is nil. Its position far off the great trade routes. Its natives backward and unenlightened. Its history obscure. And yet somewhere in the heaps of rubble that clutter an ancient world, there is obscure evidence of an influx of flame and destruction that destroyed the Dorlas of an earlier day, the greater capital of a greater federation. And somewhere in that rubble, men of a newer world poked and probed and tried to understand. The boardmaster shook his head and then pushed back his grizzling hair. He hadn't shaved in a week.
"The trouble is," he said, "that we have no point of reference. The language can be broken, I suppose, but nothing can be done with the notation."
"I think a great deal has been done."
"Stabs in the dark. Guessing games based on the translations of your albino friend. I won't base any hopes on that."
Brand said, "Nuts! You spent 2 years on the Nemean anomaly, and so far only 2 months on this, which happens to be 100,000 times the job. It's something else that's getting you." He smiled grimly. It doesn't take a psychologist to see that the government man is in your hair.
The boardmaster bit the end off a cigar and spat it 4 feet. He said slowly, "There are three things about the mule-headed idiot that make me sore. First, I don't like government interference. Second, I don't like a stranger sniffing about when we're on top of the biggest thing in the history of psychology. Third, what in the galaxy does he want? What is he after?"
"I don't know."
"What should he be after? Have you thought of it at all?"
"No, frankly. I don't care. I'd ignore him if I were you."
"You would," said the boardmaster violently. "You would! You think the government's entrance into this affair need only be ignored. I suppose you know that this Murray calls himself a psychologist."
"I know that."
"And I suppose you know he's been displaying a devouring interest in all that we've been doing."
"That, I should say, would be natural."
"Oh, and you know further."
His voice dropped with startling suddenness.
"All right, Murray's at the door. Take it easy."
Wynne Murray grinned a greeting, but the boardmaster nodded unsmilingly.
"Well, sir," said Murray bluffly, "do you know I've been on my feet for 48 hours?
You've got something here. Something big."
"Thank you."
No, I'm serious. The robot world exists."
"Did you think it didn't?"
The secretary shrugged amiably. "One has a certain natural skepticism. What are your future plans?"
"Why do you ask?"
The boardmaster grunted his words as if they were being squeezed out singly. "To see if they jibe with my own."
"And what are your own?"
The secretary smiled. No, you take precedence. How long do you intend staying there?"
"As long as it takes to make a fair beginning on the documents involved."
"That's no answer. What do you mean by a fair beginning?"
"I haven't the slightest idea. It might take years." "Oh, damnation."
The boardmaster raised his eyebrows and said nothing. The secretary looked at his nails. "I take it you know the location of this robot world."
"Naturally. Theor Riala was there. His information up to now has proven very accurate."
"That's right. The albino." "Well, why not go there?"
"Go there? Impossible."
"May I ask why?"
"Look," said the boardmaster with restrained impatience, "you're not here by our invitation, and we're not asking you to dictate our course of actions. But just to show you that I'm not looking for a fight, I'll give you a little metaphorical treatment of our case. Suppose we were presented with a huge and complicated machine, composed of principles and materials of which we knew nothing about. It is so vast we can't even make out the relationship of the parts, let alone the purpose of the whole. Now, would you advise me to begin attacking the delicate, mysterious moving parts of the machine with a detonating ray before I know what it's all about?"
"I see your point, of course. But you're becoming a mystic. The metaphor is far-fetched."
"Not at all. These positronic robots were constructed along lines we know nothing of as yet, and were intended to follow lines which we are entirely unacquainted. About the only thing we know is that the robots were put aside in complete isolation, to work out their destiny by themselves. To ruin that isolation would be to ruin the experiment. If we go there in a body, introducing new unforeseen factors, inducing unintended reactions, everything is ruined. The littlest disturbance, poppycock."
"Theor Riallo has already gone there." The boardmaster lost his temper suddenly.
"Don't you suppose I know that? Do you suppose it would ever have happened if that cursed albino hadn't been an ignorant fanatic without any knowledge of psychology at all? Galaxy knows what the idiot has done in the way of damage."
There was a silence. The secretary clicked his teeth with a thoughtful fingernail. "I don't know.
I don't know, but I've got to find out. And I can't wait years. He left. And the boardmaster turned seethingly to Brand.
And how are we going to stop him from going to the robot world if he wants to?
I don't see how he can go if we don't let him. He doesn't head the expedition.
Oh, doesn't he? That's what I was about to tell you before he came in. 10 ships of the fleet have landed on Dorlas since we arrived.
What?
Just that.
But what for?
That, my boy, is what I don't understand either.
Mind if I drop in? Said Win Murray pleasantly. And Theo Riala looked up in sudden anxiety from the papers that lay in hopeless disarray on the desk before him.
Come in. I'll clear off a seat for you.
The albino hustled the mess off one of the two chairs in a state of twittering nerves. Murray sat down and swung one long leg over the other.
Are you assigned a job here, too?
He nodded at the desk. Theor shook his head and smiled feebly. Almost automatically, he brushed the papers together in a heap and turned them face down. In the months since he had returned to Dorlas with 100 psychologists of various degrees of renown, he had felt himself pushed farther and farther from the center of things. There was room for him no longer. Except to answer questions on the actual state of things upon the robot world, which he alone had visited, he played no part. And even there he detected, or seemed to detect, anger that he should have gone, and not a competent scientist. It was a thing to be resented. Yet, somehow, it had always been like that.
Pardon me?
He had let Murray's next remark slip. The secretary repeated.
I say it's surprising you're not put to work, then. You made the original discovery, didn't you?
Yes.
The albino brightened.
But it went out of my hands. It got beyond me.
You were on the robot world, though.
That was a mistake, they tell me. I might have ruined everything.
Murray grimaced. What really gets them, I guess, is that you've got a lot of first-hand dope that they didn't. Don't let their fancy titles fool you into thinking you're a nobody. A layman with common sense is better than a blind specialist. You and I'm a layman too, you know, have to stand up for our rights.
Here. Have a cigarette.
I don't smoke. I'll take one, thank you.
The albino felt himself warming to the long-bodied man opposite. He turned the papers face upward again and lit up, bravely but uncertainly.
25 years!
Theor spoke carefully, skirting around urgent coughs.
Would you answer a few questions about the world?
I suppose so. That's all they ever ask me about. But hadn't you better ask them? They've probably got it all worked out now.
He blew the smoke as far from himself as possible. Murray said,
Frankly, they haven't even begun. And I want the information without benefit of confusing psychological translation.
First of all, what kind of people, or things, are these robots?
You haven't a photocast of one of them, have you?
Well, no. I didn't like to take casts of them. But they're not things. They're people.
No. Do they look like people?
Yes, mostly. Outside, anyway. I brought some microscopic studies of the cellular structure that I got hold of. The boardmaster has them. They're different inside, you know. Greatly simplified. But you'd never know that. They're interesting and nice.
Are they simpler than the other life of the planet?
Oh, no. It's a very primitive planet, and... and...
He was interrupted by a spasm of coughing, and crushed the cigarette to death as unobtrusively as possible.
They've got a protoplasmic base, you know. I don't think they have the slightest idea they're robots.
No, I don't suppose they would have.
What about their science? I don't know. I never got a chance to see. And everything was so different. I guess it would take an expert to understand.
Did they have machines?
The albino looked surprised.
Well, of course, a good many, of all sorts.
Large cities?
Yes.
The secretary's eyes grew thoughtful.
And you like them?
Why?
Theo Riala was brought up sharply.
I don't know. They were just likable. We got along.
They didn't bother me, so...
It's nothing I could put my finger on. Maybe it's because I've had it so hard getting along back home, and they weren't as difficult as real people.
They were more friendly?
No, can't say so.
They never quite accepted me. I was a stranger. Didn't know their language at first, all that.
But...
He looked up with a sudden brightness.
I understood them better. I could tell what they were thinking better.
But I don't know why. Well.
Another cigarette?
No?
I've got to be walloping the pillow now. It's getting late.
How about a twosome at golf tomorrow?
I've worked up a little course.
It'll do.
Come on out. The exercise will put hair on your chest.
He grinned and left.
He mumbled one sentence to himself. It looks like a death sentence.
And whistled thoughtfully as he passed along to his own quarters. He repeated the phrase to himself when he faced the boardmaster the next day, with the sash of office about his waist. He did not sit down.
Again? Said the boardmaster wearily.
Again, assented the secretary. But real business this time. I may have to take over direction of your expedition.
What? Impossible, sir! I will listen to no such proposition!
I have my authority. Wynne Murray presented the metalloid cylinder that snapped open in a flick of the thumb. I have powers and full discretion to their use. It is signed, as you will observe, by the chairman of the Congress of the Federation.
So? But why?
The boardmaster, by an effort, breathed normally.
Short of arbitrary tyranny, is there a reason?
A very good one, sir. All along we have viewed this expedition from different angles. The Department of Science and Technology views the robot world not from the point of view of a scientific curiosity, but from the standpoint of its interference with the peace of the Federation. I don't think you've ever stopped to consider the danger inherent in this robot world.
None that I can see. It is thoroughly isolated and thoroughly harmless.
How can you know?
From the very nature of the experiment!
Shouted the boardmaster angrily.
The original planners wanted as nearly a completely closed system as possible. Here they are, just as far off the trade routes as possible, in a thinly populated region of space. The whole idea was to have the robots develop free of interference.
Murray smiled. I disagree with you there.
Look, the whole trouble with you is that you're a theoretical man. You look at things the way they ought to be. And I, a practical man, look at things as they are. No experiment can be set up and allowed to run indefinitely under its own power. It is taken for granted that somewhere there is at least an observer who watches and modifies as circumstances warrant.
Well, said the boardmaster stolidly.
Well, the observers in this first experiment, the original psychologists of Dorlas, passed away with the First Confederation, and for 15,000 years the experiment has proceeded by itself. Little errors have added up and become big ones, and introduced alien factors, which induced still other errors. It's a geometric progression, and there's been no one to halt it.
Pure hypothesis.
Maybe.
But you're interested only in the robot world. I've got to think of the entire Federation.
And just what possible danger can the robot world be to the Federation? I don't know what an Arcturus you're driving at, man.
Murray sighed. I'll be simple, but don't blame me if I sound melodramatic.
The Federation hasn't had any internal warfare for centuries. What will happen if we come into contact with these robots?
Are you afraid of one world?
Could be. What about their science? Robots can do funny things sometimes.
What science can they have? They're not metal electricity supermen. They're weak protoplasmic creatures, a poor imitation of actual humanity, built around a positronic brain adjusted to a set of simplified human psychological laws. If the word robot is scaring you...
No, it isn't. But I've talked to Theo Riallo. He's the only one who's seen them, you know.
The boardmaster cursed silently and fluently. It came of letting a weak-minded freak of a layman get underfoot where he could babble and do harm. He said,
"We've got Riallo's full story, and we've evaluated it fully and capably. I assure you no harm exists in them. The experiment is so thoroughly academic, I wouldn't spend 2 days on it if it weren't for the broad scope of the thing. From what I see, the whole idea was to build up a positronic brain containing modifications of one or two of the fundamental axioms. We haven't worked out the details, but they must be minor, as it was the first experiment of this nature ever tried. And even the great mythical psychologists of that day had to progress stepwise. Those robots, I tell you, are neither supermen nor beasts. I assure you, as a psychologist..."
"Sorry, I'm a psychologist, too. A little more rule of thumb, I'm afraid. That's all. But even little modifications. Take the general spirit of combativeness. That isn't the scientific term, but I've no patience for that. You know what I mean. We humans used to be combative. But it's being bred out of us. A stable political and economic system doesn't encourage the waste energy of combat. It's not a survival factor. But suppose the robots are combative. Suppose, as the result of a wrong turn during the millennia they've been unwatched, they become far more combative than ever their first makers intended. They'd be uncomfortable things to be with.
And suppose all the stars in the galaxy become novae at the same time. Let's really start worrying."
"And there's another point." Murray ignored the other's heavy sarcasm. "Theo Riallo liked those robots. He liked robots better than he likes real people. He felt that he fitted there, and we all know he's a bad misfit in his own world."
"And what," asked the boardmaster, "is the significance of that?"
"Don't you see it?"
Wynne Murray lifted his eyebrows. "Theo Riallo likes those robots because he is like them, obviously. I'll guarantee right now that a complete psychic analysis of Theo Riallo will show a modification of several fundamental axioms, and the same ones as in the robots." "And," the secretary drove on without pause, "Theo Riallo worked for a quarter of a century to prove a point, when all science would have laughed him to death if they had known about it. There's fanaticism there. Good, honest, inhuman perseverance. Those robots are probably like that."
"You're advancing no logic. You're arguing like a maniac, like a moonstruck idiot."
"I don't need strict mathematical proof. Reasonable doubt is sufficient. I've got to protect the Federation. Look, it is reasonable, you know. The psychologists of Dorlas weren't as super as all that. They had to advance stepwise, as you yourself pointed out. They're humanoids. Let's not call them robots. We're only imitations of human beings, and they couldn't be good ones. Humans possess certain very, very complicated reaction systems. Things like social consciousness, and a tendency toward the establishment of ethical systems, and more ordinary things like chivalry, generosity, fair play, and so on, that simply cannot possibly be duplicated. I don't think those humanoids can have them. But they must have perseverance, which practically implies stubbornness and combativeness, if my notion on Theo Riallo holds good. Well, If their science is anywhere at all, then I don't want to have them running loose in the galaxy, if our numbers are 1,000 or 1,000,000 times theirs. And I don't intend to permit them to do so.
The boardmaster's face was rigid.
What are your immediate intentions?
As yet undecided. But I think I am going to organize a small-scale landing on the planet.
Now wait!
The old psychologist was up and around the desk. He seized the secretary's elbow.
Are you quite certain you know what you're doing?
The potentialities in this massive experiment are beyond any possible pre-calculation by you or me. You can't know what you're destroying.
I know. Do you think I enjoy what I'm doing? This isn't a hero's job. I'm enough of a psychologist to want to know what's going on. But I've been sent here to protect the Federation, and to the best of my ability, I intend doing it. And a dirty job it is, but I can't help it.
You can't have thought it out. What can you know of the insight it will give us into the basic ideas of psychology? This will amount to a fusion of two galactic systems that will send us to heights that will make up in knowledge and power 1,000,000 times the amount of harm the robots could ever do, if they were metal electricity supermen.
The secretary shrugged. Now you're the one that is playing with faint possibilities.
Listen, I'll make a deal. Blockade them. Isolate them with your ships. Mount guards. But don't touch them. Give us more time. Give us a chance. You must.
I've thought of that. But I would have to get Congress to agree to that. It would be expensive, you know.
The boardmaster flung himself into his chair in wild impatience.
What kind of expense are you talking about? Do you realize the nature of the repayment if we succeed?
Murray considered. Then, with a half smile, what if they develop interstellar travel?
The boardmaster said quickly,
then I'll withdraw my objections.
The secretary rose. I'll have it out with Congress. Brand Gorla's face was carefully emotionless as he watched the boardmaster stooped back. The cheerful pep talks to the available members of the expedition lacked meat, and he listened to them impatiently. He said, "What are we going to do now?" The boardmaster's shoulders twitched, and he didn't turn.
"I've sent for Theo Rialo. That little fool left for the eastern continent last week."
"Why?"
The older man blazed at the interruption.
"How can I understand anything that freak does? Don't you see that Murray's right? He's a psychic abnormality. We had no business leaving him unwatched. If I had ever thought of looking at him twice, I wouldn't have. He's coming back now, though, and he's going to stay back."
His voice fell to a mumble. "Should have been back 2 hours ago."
"It's an impossible position, sir," said Brand flatly.
"Think so?"
"Well, do you think Congress will stand for an indefinite patrol off the robot world? It runs into money, and average galactic citizens aren't going to see it as worth the taxes."
The psychological equations degenerate into the axioms of common sense. In fact, I don't see why Murray agreed to consult Congress.
"Don't you?"
The boardmaster finally faced his junior.
"Well, the fool considers himself a psychologist. Galaxy help us. And that's his weak point. He flatters himself that he doesn't want to destroy the robot world in his heart, and that it's the good of the Federation that requires it, and he'll jump at any reasonable compromise. Congress won't agree to it indefinitely. You don't have to point that out to me."
He was talking quietly, patiently.
"I will ask for 10 years, 2 years, 6 months. As much as I can get. I'll get something. In that time, we'll learn new facts about the world. Somehow, we'll strengthen our case and renew the agreement when it expires. We'll save the project yet."
There was a short silence, and the boardmaster added slowly and bitterly,
"And that's where Theor Rialo plays a vital part."
Bran Gorla watched silently and waited. The boardmaster said,
"On that one point, Murray saw what we didn't. Rialo is a psychological cripple and is our own real clue to the whole affair. If we study him, we'll have a rough picture of what the robot is like. Distorted, of course, since his environment has been a hostile, unfriendly one. But we can make allowance for that. Estimate his nature in a... I'm tired of the whole subject."
The signal box flashed, and the boardmaster sighed.
"Well, he's here. All right, Gorla, sit down. You make me nervous. Let's take a look at him."
Theor Rialo came through the door like a comet and brought himself to a panting halt in the middle of the floor. He looked from one to the other with weak, peering eyes.
"How did this all happen?"
"All what?" said the boardmaster coldly. "Sit down. I want to ask you some questions."
"No! You first answer me!"
"Sit down!"
Rialo sat. His eyes were brimming.
"They're going to destroy the robot world."
"Don't worry about that."
"But you said they could if the robots discovered interstellar travel. You said so." "You fool! Don't you see?"
He was choking. The boardmaster frowned uneasily.
"Will you calm down and talk sense?"
The albino gritted his teeth and forced the words out.
"But they'll have interstellar travel before long."
And the two psychologists shot toward the little man.
"What?"
Well, what did you think?"
Rialo sprang upward with all the fury of desperation.
"Did you think I landed in a desert? Or in the middle of an ocean? And explored the world all by myself? Do you think life is a storybook? I was captured as soon as I landed and taken to a big city. At least I think it was a big city. It was different from our kind. It had... But I won't tell you."
"Never mind the city!"
shrieked the boardmaster.
"You were captured. Go ahead!"
"They studied me. They studied my machine. And then one night I left to tell the Federation. They didn't know I left. They didn't want me to leave."
His voice broke.
"And I would have stayed as soon as not. But the Federation had to know."
"Did you tell them anything about your ship?"
"How could I? I'm no mechanic. I don't know the theory or construction. But I showed them how to work the controls and let them look at the motors. That's all."
Bran Gorla said, to himself mostly, "Then they'll never get it. That isn't enough." The albino's voice raised itself in sudden shrieking triumph.
"Oh, yes, they will. I know them. They're machines, you know? They'll work on that problem, and they'll work, and they'll work, and they'll never quit. And they'll get it. They got enough out of me. I'll bet they got enough."
The boardmaster looked long and turned away wearily.
"Why didn't you tell us?"
"Because you took my world away from me. I discovered it. By myself. All by myself. And after I had done all the real work and invited you in, you threw me out. All you had from me was complaints that I had landed on the world and might have ruined everything by interference. Why should I tell you? Find out for yourselves if you're so wise that you could afford to kick me around."
The boardmaster thought bitterly. "Misfit. Inferiority complex. Persecution mania. Nice. It all fits in now that we've bothered to take our eyes off the horizon and see what was under our nose. And now it's all ruined." He said,
"All right, Rialo, we all lose. Go away."
Bran Gorla said tightly, "All over?
Really? All over?"
The boardmaster answered,
"Really all over. The original experiment as such is over.
The distortions created by Rialo's visit will easily be large enough to make the plans we are studying here a dead language. And besides, Murray is right. If they have interstellar travel, they're dangerous.
Rialo was shouting.
But you're not going to destroy them! You can't destroy them! They haven't hurt anyone!
There was no answer. And he raved on.
I'm going back! I'll warn them! They'll be prepared! I'll warn them!
He was backing toward the door, his thin white hair bristling, his red-rimmed eyes bulging. The boardmaster did not stop to move him when he dashed out.
Let him go. It was his lifetime. I don't care anymore.
Theor Rialo smashed toward the robot world in an acceleration that was half-choking him. Somewhere ahead was a dust speck of an isolated world with artificial imitations of humanity, struggling along in an experiment that had died, struggling blindly towards a new goal of interstellar travel that was to be their death sentence. He was heading toward that world, toward the same city in which he had been studied the first time. He remembered it well. Its name was the first words of their language he had learned. New York.